If not it was for me, he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty. This morning I seen Monica go back there and hug Margaret. Now Holden's back there hugging Margaret. I like seeing that. I like it on that fashion. She's probably loving every minute of it. Hey man, I didn't get to see Jessica. She's up here with me, all right. Yeah, I just looked up and I seen Monica back there. You know, that's what Lord's all about. He's love. And I didn't love nobody but any ways until I got saved. Now I love everybody. Because of him.
Page 47.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on.
Traveling on. good to me. I feel like traveling alone. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling home. Yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling home. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home.
Amen. Down here, we're the coming and going. Up there, they're just enjoying. Amen. You know, most of the time I find myself going somewhere in a hurry. And when I get there, I'm in a hurry to go back. But when you get to heaven, you just want to put the brakes on and say, let's stay a while. Amen. Hallelujah. Has anybody got a special on your heart this morning? If you do, well, we certainly welcome the opportunity if you share that with us. And I mean that. And if not, well, we'll go right to the preaching of the Word of God. You can be opening up your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Let me say, first of all, this is a rough message, and I don't have any saying messages. I'm just a messenger boy. But this is a pretty rough message. I've had a big battle with it myself, but we trust God that He knows what's needed, and He knows how to deliver what's needed. I've got some scriptures wrote down, and the reason for that, I'm not smart enough to remember all these verses, and I will be comparing spiritual with spiritual, precepts upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So don't hold it against me because you see me pull out a piece of paper. I've just got a lot of verses here to put together in this message. I can preach without doing that. I preached on the square for 10 years, and up there I just read the scripture and went for about an hour screaming and preaching. I can do that. But in the church, Paul said, I'd rather say 5 words with understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. It ain't all jibber-jabber. I want it to line up with the book. And Isaiah chapter 28, I'll start our reading in verse number 15. This is God addressing Israel. And God says, because ye have said. Now, God's not like you and me. I'll probably forget what you said today. And if you ask me, I probably won't be able to remember your name. I'll be well remember my own. But God here, He's heard what they said. He's addressing it right here. He said, because ye have said, we've made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we've made lies our refuge and our falsehood. I'm sorry, and under falsehood, have we hid ourselves? Now please listen to me this morning. This is a pretty serious message. And I desire your prayers. He said, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hail shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then shall you be trodden down by it. And I'll stop by reading right there for the sake of time. And I want to preach this morning on how to escape death. And I do desire your prayers. And I desperately need them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, you counted me faithful and you put me into the ministry. Lord, it was a good day when I realized you're the preacher and all I am is a messenger boy. I do pray, dear Father, this morning with that confession that you'll take these lips of clay, mold them, Lord, where they won't stammer. Mold them, Father, they may speak forth the truth with clarity. And Father, take this tongue, use it as a pen of a ready writer to write upon the tablets of our hearts great truths from your Word. Lord, help me, I pray, not to fear man, but fear God. Help me, Lord, I pray, to deliver all that you've given me. And Lord, I'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And I do pray I'll see you move upon what's said today. And Lord, with that in mind, I ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is a message for the day and hour we're living in, probably more so even than when it was penned here in Isaiah. And the reason I say that is people are going to all kinds of means to evade judgment, to evade death. Medical procedures have allowed people to live longer lives. I mean, the average lifespan in third world countries is 30 to 40 years, and that's it. They don't live no longer than 30 to 40 years. The average lifespan in America is 80 to 90 years. And those are medical breakthroughs. But what I want to mention here this morning, I knew about this for a long time. I wasn't even really sure I could get it on the internet. But I was able to find it. I want to share just a little bit with you this morning. I'll just underline a little bit on there. Science has advanced to the point now that if you've got enough money, you can be frozen in liquid nitrogen for the hope of one day there might be a medical breakthrough that you might be able to live beyond the appointed time. Scientists are trying, even today, to stop or reverse death. And you probably will not be aware of what's happening if you go through this procedure. Your brain and your heart will probably die before your cells freeze, and there is a risk. This started in 1976. It started by a man that had a close brush with death as a soldier in World War II. And his name was Robert Ettinger. And he started this Cryonics Institute, which mainly means being froze by liquid nitrogen. And the Institute froze its first person in 1977. In the past 3 years, at least 90 people in America have been frozen in the hopes that they might be able to be brought back to life. It costs $30,000 to have it done, and it's that much a year. And in Clinton, they currently have 37 people, 10 cats and 6 dogs frozen. The newest patient was a 90-year-old woman who died of a heart attack, and now she's inside a wooden box in a vacuum container, frozen to a negative 40 degrees. She'll join others inside sealed vault vacuum chambers. The problem of restoring patients to life after being frozen has not yet been solved. No one has the answer to that yet, but hopefully scientists will figure that out soon. In medicine, cryonics means someone who has died and was frozen last week may have a future again. That may have been boring to you, but that shows you the extent some people are willing to go through to try to avoid death, to try to avoid hell. And God said this about Israel, that they made some kind of a league, some kind of a covenant with death and hell. And they said, we're in agreement. It's not going to come to us. We made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Let me say this about cryonics. Save your money and just get saved. Psalms 118 verse 8, tremendous verse, says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. Now, I don't know how many days I'm going to live. The Bible said that we ought to number our days. I don't know. I know by the number God said man's days will be 70, and if by strength 80. 70, that's 70 years. 80, that's 80 years. But no matter if you live to be 100, you're sooner or later you're going to die and you're going to stand before God. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Listen, with that in mind, now Janie's going to make an appointment this Friday. And the reason she's going to make an appointment, she told me this herself. She said, Brother Ed, I don't mind dying. She said, I'm just concerned about what the doctor's going to put me through before I do. And I admire that statement. That's a young person that's brave in the Lord. She said, I'm just concerned about what they're going to put me through. Pray with me. I put my arm around her and wept and prayed with her. Matter of fact, we all prayed with her. Several of us went over there. But what scientists will do to you is not what Jesus will do to you.
Right.
Jesus can forgive you of your sins. Jesus can heal you from sin. Jesus can save you from sin. He can give you eternal life.
Amen.
That's why it's better just to go to Jesus. The Bible tells us about a woman that had an issue of blood. And the Bible said that she suffered many things of many physicians. And it went on to tell us she grew nothing better, but rather worse. And she spent all that she had. And when she ran out of money, and evidently when you run out of money, the only thing left is Jesus. But when she ran out of money, Jessica, she thought within herself, she said, if I can just get to Jesus, I believe if I could just touch the hem of His garment, she said, I believe I'll be made whole.
Right.
Would have been good if she started with that. She wouldn't have to suffer so many things. She wouldn't have to spend all her money, Molly. She could have had her money. She could have been spared all that suffering. But you see, Jesus is the last thing. Somebody told me once that a woman went to a doctor and she had a lot of money and they done a lot of procedures on her and really nothing was working. And the doctor called her in his office and he said, ma'am, we've done everything we know to do. There's only one thing left I know to do. She said, what's that? He said, we need to pray. And she said, oh God, has it come to that? I'm telling you, when it comes to that, I'm glad there's still hope in Him. I'm glad there's still help in Him. I'm glad there's still healing in Him. And when it comes to that, you can get to Jesus, amen.
Right.
And get that which is needed. Or you can take the route. These people here has got, first of all, I ain't got $30,000. Some of them have their heads cut off. I reckon they're going to get a young body. I don't know. They have their heads cut off, haven't frozen. Hey, I'll tell you what. I can't wait to get rid of this head. If the Taliban wanted, tell them to come. Amen. I've been looking in the mirror for a long time. I've been watching it decline. I've watched the hair go. I've watched the strength. I've seen the wrinkles appear. I've seen the eyes get dim. I'm looking forward to that new body. Amen. I'm looking forward to that life that Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Somebody said, they're talking about here. No, it's talking about there. This life's but a vapor that a prayer for a little while and then vanishes away. But this other life, glory to God, it's not just eternal, but we got an eternal place to live in. Amen. I'm telling you, hallelujah, eternal life in an eternal place with an eternal body. That's why they call it heaven. Amen. Can you imagine having eternity here and have to watch all the things that's coming up on this world? I don't have to watch but about maybe 70 years. I mean, I'll be 60 in February. I didn't really think I was going to live that long. If I believe I took better care of myself. But can you imagine you can't die? It's breaking your heart. You're watching the condescending of man. You're watching man fall from his steadfastness. You're watching men embracing the trends and the fads. You're watching the Madonnas and the Myri Kyruses or whatever her name is. You're seeing, you know, the fall of man. I don't want to see no more of that than I have to. I just want to spend my days get on out here and go up there and see the hereafter. Amen. But oh, people spend money. They got a will to live, but they don't want to go to the one that gives the life. And the biggest problem is sin. Sin is what causes death. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14, verse 34, and our nation needs to hear this, and I thank God for our internet site. I mean, you just don't never know when someone might stumble upon that internet site. And here's something they need. That message I preached a while back, and I don't mean this in a negative way. The Lord put a message on my heart about the torments of hell. And I put that message. Well, actually, I preached the message. Anthony put the message on the internet. And people will get on the internet and they'll type in the word hell. And Jessica, it'll bring that message. And one young boy named Eric, he didn't just go and hear that message, but he called and he said, I'm a young man. and I'm going to hell and I don't want to go there. And I said, Eric, tell Jesus what you just told me. Tell Him you don't want to go there. He'll give you a way of escape. But I said, if you don't get Jesus, Eric, be assured of this. You're going to hell, buddy. I'm telling you, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. And the only exit I know is Jesus. The only off-ramp I know, the only road I know that leads somewhere other than hell is Jesus that said, I'm the way, I'm the life, I'm the truth. No way it comes to the Father but by me. Somebody tells you you can go some other way, you just tell them they're a liar. Because they're lying to you. Yes. He who cannot lie said, I am the way. I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. But I told that young man, Eric, Brother Melvin, he told me, he said, I'm dying. I'm dying fast. He's like just in his 20s. He had some kind of real bad infection and it was running its course through his body. And Kalen, at that time, it was in his brain. And he would kind of come in and out of consciousness as he's talking to me. And I spent a lot of time reasoning with this young man, trying to tell him that Jesus had a hand reached out to him, trying to save him. And I wanted to be sure that I'd done everything, exhaust all the means I had. So I had my pastor call him. And my pastor, Brother Rick, also called him. Me and my pastor both, we got down and prayed for this young boy. And I never heard no more from him, as far as I know. I know one thing, he knew everything he needed to know to get saved. Now, whether he did or whether he didn't, I don't know that. I know a way anyway he's saved. That's about all I can know. I got so much liberty here. Is there anybody here interested in going overtime to be alright? If there is, show a hand up and I will go in overtime. If not, I'll nip this thing in the bud. Anybody here don't care, Brother Eddie, going overtime? Okay, I got the opportunity to go down and that's two hands, that's enough, honey. I got the opportunity one time to go down to Tompkinsville, Kentucky, and preach on a radio station down there at WTKY. And the owner was J.K. Whittemore. He was 79 years old. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. My pastor told me about this radio program. It was early in the morning. I used to drive. No, I take it back. It was in the afternoon. The One Horse Cave was early in the morning. It was in the afternoon. I went after the church service. Sometime I'd have to get up and leave because my pastor, like me, being long-winded, didn't always accommodate me being there to preach live. But anyway, I went down there to that radio station, and I met this radio station owner, J.K. Whittemore, and he's joking with me a little bit. And he said, I know preachers pretty good. You say you're a preacher. I said, well, sir, God says I am. And I said, I ain't got much more to say other than that. And he's kind of giving me a few preacher jokes and telling me about how all this and everything. He brought a big old microphone in there. He set it up on a stand right there. And I mean, it looked like one of them like Elvis Presley sung in, great old big aluminum thing with vents all in it there. You know, and he stuck it up there. He said, I'll go in that little room back there. And he said, you watch me. He said, when you see my arm come down, he said, you'll be live on the radio. And I'm sitting there about as nervous as a man can be. First time ever preaching on this radio station. And he dropped that arm down and I read my text and prayed and went to preaching. And that 79-year-old man come out of that room and fell across the counter right there beside me, Jessica. And I thought he was having a heart attack. I said, are you all right, sir? He said, no, I ain't all right. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. And I need to be saved. And I said, J.K., Jesus will save you. That's Jesus to save you. And he never did. He died just a while back. And as far as I know, that 79-year-old man missed heaven and went to that dreaded place of the damned, the doomed. As far as I know, J.K. Whittemore, 79 years old. I saw God deal with that man like I never saw God deal with a man in my life. There wasn't no holding back. He come out of that room like it was somebody with a shotgun in that room with him. And he fell across that counter. And I literally thought he was having a massive heart attack. And he was weeping on that counter. And I said, J.K.'s everything all right? He said, no, it ain't. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Amen. As far as I know, J.K. Whittemore went to hell. And let me say this, people are going to hell right now. People go to hell today. People will go to hell tomorrow. They'll go to hell tonight. But they'll have to trespass the love of God and the will of God and the Word of God to go there. But they made some kind of agreement with death. They said, we figured out a way around this dilemma. We found out we can build our Tower of Babel. We found out we're in agreement here. The Bible, oh, for what it's worth. Now I am full this morning. The Bible said, though hand join with hand, they'll not be unpunished. So much for all you polls and, you know, the majority is leaning towards this or leaning towards that. I'll tell you what, even the minority, it's better to go with God. If there ain't but one. That's where God, it'll be enough. Amen. If the whole world is in a handbasket going to hell, and one person said, I'm coming out, I'm going to take the Lord's offer, I'm going to repent of my sins, I'm going to call upon Him that's rich in mercy, I ought to call upon Him, I'm going to see if He'll have mercy on me, at that crowd at Calvary, as they all made fun of Jesus, as those I'm turning around derided Him and chatted with Him, come down, we'll believe on you. As they cast all them accusations in His teeth, one man said, Lord, remember me when Thou comest in Thy kingdom. And what was left of Jesus, because He was beaten into a pulp, not like what you see on Hollywood. His best is marred more than any man. What was left of Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You want to go to paradise, you'll have to get to Jesus. You want to miss death, you'll have to get to Jesus. You want to miss hell, you'll have to get to Jesus. Amen. But our nation has become an ungodly, heathenistic nation. And the Bible said in Proverbs 14, verse 34, that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a riposte to any people. That's talking about Americans. That's talking about Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Conservative Republicans. If you watch the news a little bit, listen to the radio a little bit, you'll find out there's a big move right now. A communistic move in our country.
Yeah.
And it's a landsliding move to remove all the landmarks, to remove all the icons and the foundations and all of the chief cornerstones, to take them out so that we can come a heathenistic, communistic, God-hating, God-denying nation. I'll tell you right now, the nation I better drop in a bucket in His sight. We need a Nineveh repentance. I hope you preach on repenting, brother. We need a Nineveh repentance. I'll tell you right now, the preacher may not have wanted to come, Jonah, but I'll tell you one thing, he got a limousine, a whale, and when that limousine delivered him on dry land, and he come out of the belly of that whale, he entered into Nineveh, and he said, yet in 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown. He may not have thought much about the message, but I'll tell you what those people did. From the king all the way down to the servants, even the animals, they put on sackcloth and ashes and repented of their sins. And God spared 120,000 souls that didn't know their left hand and their right hand. I'm talking about a heathenistic land. And God took a backslidden, I'm talking about an unworthy preacher that didn't even want to go. They tried to get out of going to Nineveh. God took him. God used him. And got salvation in Nineveh. Amen.
Yeah.
It was God's doing. When Jonah come out of that whale, he said, salvation's of the Lord. That's the best way I know how to put it. It's not being baptized. It's not joining the church. It's of the Lord. Now, Holden and Caitlin, they couldn't wait to get baptized. They couldn't wait to join the church. And I'm all for that. Get on board. But salvation is not in joining the church. It's not in getting baptized. Salvation's of the Lord. He saved a such. He saved this such. He'll save your such. He'll save all such. They come to Him. The Bible said in Numbers, see, there's a problem with the sin. It don't go away. The Bible said in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, and even though I'm taking out of context, the meaning is still true. Moses said, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. Sin. There's only one thing to do with sin. That's bring it to Jesus. Get it under the blood. If you leave sin unattended, sin will come out. It'll shout from the rooftops. You see all these scandals coming out. These guys getting caught showing themselves on these phones. They got these phones now. And they don't do texting. They do some other thing now. And it's got photos of them. And what they do in secret, God's making public. And they're all ashamed, trying to figure out some excuse, trying to explain it away. And they can't. I mean, they get caught doing something called sin. Somebody said, what's sin? It's that thing you don't want to get caught doing. It's that thing you hope nobody finds out about. It's that thing God knows everything about. And God tells you it's going to find you out. Sin is lethal in the smallest dose. Sin is like a serpent's venom. And I'll be preaching tonight about handling serpents. And I encourage you to come tonight. It'll probably be amusing, but it'll also be beneficial. I promise you, I can take the Bible tonight and show you some things about the Bible and about snake handling. You'll know a little bit more about it tonight. But sin is like the serpent's venom. It gets in your blood. It runs its course. And the next thing you know, no one can help you. You're dying because of the lethalness of sin. Sin will find you out. Sin will point you out. Sin will take you. I'll tell you what, buddy, further you want to go, keep you longer you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You remember what Cain said when God confronted him about his brother Abel? He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" God said, "What hast thou done?" The next verse says, I'm reading about David's sin here. Psalms 51, verse 3. David said about his sin, he said, "I acknowledge my transgression." He said, "My sin is ever before me." I'll get on Cain here in just a minute. I jumped the gun there. Sin, it'll ever be before you. You'll look in the mirror, and the mirror will say, "You know you sinned." You know, some people, they tell me while they're sleeping, they confess their sins. Their wife says, "Who was that you was talking about last night? Who's Lisa? Who's Nancy? Who's Doris? Who is that?" And you say, "I don't know. I was in my sleep. I don't know what I said." Amen. Sin is like that. It'll come out. It'll show up at the least expecting time. Preacher showed up at a house one time, Brother Melvin. And he showed up kind of unexpectedly. And a guy answered the door there. And man, he tried to be a little spiritual there. You know, he told the kids, he said, "Go get that book we love." And he went and got the Reader's Digest. Or a TV Guide or something like that, Linda. The kid is now all right. He said, "Go get that book we love." I mean, you got TV Guide, Reader's Digest, something like that. Yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah. Well, let me get on down here. The problem, let's not miss this, the problem is sin. The reason the problem is sin is because there's pleasure in sin. I mean, the devil knows what to bait the hook with. He's caught more men than you and me. He's caught more women than are here this morning. But there is pleasure in sin. However, the Bible does tell us it's but for a season. And some people, Molly, are willing even for a season to have pleasure in sin. They tell me themselves, "I don't care. I'm willing to pay." That's a fool talking. The Bible said a fool mocks his sin. That's a fool talking. He says, "I don't care. I'm going to have my cake and eat it anyway." I believe if I could somehow get a microphone down to hell, somebody would say, "Don't do what I did. Don't come where I am. Repent while you can. Don't come to this place of the damned." There's pleasure in sin. That's why sin's a problem. It lures people to it. That's why men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil and it accommodates their deeds, John 3:19. That's why they don't come to light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Somebody said, "I don't want to come up with that church over there. I don't feel comfortable." Well, the reason you don't feel comfortable is because God's trying to show you got a problem. God, through a preacher, showed me I was lost. God, through a preacher, showed me I could be saved. And God, through a preacher, showed me how to be saved.
Amen.
And I'm glad I am saved. The only regret I got, Brother Melvin, is I wished I'd done it sooner. I got in late, but I did bloom. Amen. I was a late bloomer at the age of 34 years old. I finally had enough sense to come to Jesus and say, "I've sinned. If you'll forgive me, if you'll save me, I'm yours." And to my amazement, he should have said, "You should have come earlier." To my amazement, he should have said, "Not today, maybe some other day." To my amazement, that day, that minute, that second, he saved me. Amen. How you know he saved, Brother Eddie? The condemnation, the guilt was gone. The peace of God flooded my soul. The joy unspeakable and full of glory was so great, I got up and looked in the mirror. The mirror couldn't show it, Brother Melvin, but neither could I hide it.
Amen.
And I've been going like a freight train ever since, trying to tell small and great that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. But people don't want to come to light. They don't want their sins to be reproved. That preacher, that's all he preaches about sin. Hey, listen. When I got right with God, Brother Vernon, that same message, "You shake me up, just bless me all over now."
Amen.
Man, I hear somebody talking about hell, I say, "Whoa! Glad I ain't going there no more."
Right.
Amen. Somebody talking about living a life of sin, I say, "Whoa! I'm glad I'm not living that kind of life no more."
Amen.
Man, that same message that really, like a bloodhound on my trail, now, boy, the blessings pour down.
Amen.
And I say, "Hallelujah! It ain't that way no more. Preach on, glory to God. Amen, hallelujah." The problem is, we just need to get right with God. For what it's worth, I'm going to throw this at you. It's a little far-fetched. Right now, who said that? Right now, the military is developing a suit that makes someone invisible. Y'all may not know about this, and then you may. But this suit, you put it on, it makes you invisible. Now, Jessica, the way it does it is it's able to bend the light around it. And that's what people have been trying to do. They've been trying to bend the light to make it fit to sin, trying to somehow merge light and darkness. But this suit, when you put it on, and you're standing there, you just become invisible because it bends the light rays, and somebody they go around you and they don't show you. And that's what the world wants. They want some kind of suit that they can somehow have sin and not be seen.
Yeah.
And even though that would be a military advantage, that's not an advantage to a sinner. Can you imagine Brother Barney come to church and he lost, and somebody come over and say, "You all right? Don't worry about a thing. God's too good to send anybody to hell." And they sit there on that pew and go to hell. Can you imagine that? I'm glad God's better than that. I'm glad God told me, "Eddie, you're a sinner. God told me, Eddie, you need to get saved. God told me, Eddie, I will save you if you'll just confess your sins and come to me." I'm telling you, the Lord said, "Come unto me, and I'll tell you what, buddy, He'll give you rest." He said, "Come now," said the Lord. "Though your sins be scarlet," He said, "I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool." He's got to care. He's got to fix. If you'll just get to Jesus, you can get it well. Amen. I'll tell you, buddy, He's got the solution. The problem is sin. People want that invisibility. They want to somehow be invincible to the effects of sin. You know, when I was a drinking and I was a drunk, I thought I was different. I thought, yeah, maybe them, not me. I can handle it. I'll tell you what, buddy, that's a big lie. It's a miracle that I'm even alive today, but even a greater miracle that God saved me. But people think, "Hey, I'm different. I can drive faster than them other guys. I can drink more than them others. I can do this. I can do it." God says you can't. God says you need to turn around. God says you need to come to Him before it's ever actually too late. But they want that invisibility. Hunters, even today, they put on this camouflage suits. And when they're out there in the woods, Keith, if they don't move, you can't see them. They just blend in. And there they are. They got that real tree, camo, tree bark, leaves, whatever. And here they are. You don't see them until they move. And you say, "Wow, there they are." And people want that concerning sin. They want to somehow be able to camouflage their sin. So they start calling it different names. They start looking at it differently. They start saying, "Hey, now let's be tolerant in this matter of sin." I'll tell you what, when we realize how lethal sin is, we'll want people to preach against it. We'll want people to come out of it, amen? We'll want them to get saved. But we don't need a camo suit. We don't need an invisible suit. We need to come to Jesus and let Him cleanse us and let Him save us, amen? The problem is sin. The problem is there's pleasure in sin. That's why there's so many statistics. That's why there's so many that get swallowed up in this thing. It's a pleasurable thing. Some people holding, they only get to try drugs one time. One. Some people, I remember hearing about this girl on the radio, Caitlin. She only had one dealing with a guy. And she came down with HIV. Just one. She tried to blame God. "God, why would you let this happen to me?" You see, sometimes you don't get three chances. Sometimes you don't get ten. Sometimes you only get one. That's why you need to abstain from it. Abstain from all appearance of sin. Flee youthful lust. I'm telling you, it's a painful path that many have trod. I see them, and they've got the scars. They've got the wounds. I told you about B.C. Poland. Only one night. That's all it took. Lost an eye, lost a wife, lost his life. Spent the rest of his days in nursing home looking out the window. Whew. The penalty of sin. I'm back to Cain again. Genesis chapter 4, verse 13. Cain said, "My punishment's greater than I can bear." If you end up in hell, it'll be greater than you can bear.
That's true, yeah.
Someone said, "I ain't afraid of hell. Go skinny dip in the volcano. Won't you just show me how bold you are? Why don't you and I go to a volcano which will burn our clothes off before we even get to it, and you just dive in there and say, 'Look, preacher, I'm not scared of hell.' And as that velvet heat consumes your flesh off your body and even your bones turn to dust before you ever even reach that inferno, you'd realize how big a fool you are to say, 'I'm not afraid of hell.'" God made hell a fit place. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. For those of you that don't know, God said He made hell for the devil and his angels. Them's the only one that deserve a place like that.
Right.
And if you end up in hell, you'll have hell to pay. You won't have no one to blame but yourself and the devil. The devil makes sure you'll make it. But sin is what will send you there. See, the devil's got to get you to believe a lie before he can do his work. That's why no lies are the truth. That's why you need to know the Bible. I'm telling you right now, a lot of people ain't preaching the truth. I've got about 10 minutes to wrap this thing up. But listen, Cain said, my punishment's greater than I can bear. Jesus wasn't kidding in Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through 48, when He was talking about hell. When He said, if your hand was going to cause you to go to hell, He said, cut it off. That's not figurative, that's real. He said, you'd be better off to cut your own hand off and end up in that place called hell. Molly, He said, if your foot was going to take you to hell, He said, you'd be better off cut that foot off than end up in that place of the dreaded damned. He said, if your eye was going to cause you to go to hell, you'd be better off to pluck it out. He wasn't making suggestions. He was telling great truths like that. That's how bad a place hell is. That I'm telling you what, you'd be better off to end in life maimed than end up in that place where the worm doth not and the fire is not quenched. John the Baptist wasn't trying to be politically correct when he reproved King Herod for marrying his brother Philip's wife Herodias and for all the evils that Herod had done. Luke chapter 3 verse 19, Matthew chapter 14 verse 3 and 5. See, we try to be politically correct today. Don't try that with God.
That's right.
You know, you might be able to get by with man being politically correct. And I'll tell you right now, God's ready to judge the quick and the dead. And the judgment's going to be on the line. The plummet line. It's not going to sway. It's not going to be, hey, I'm a good person. I never hurt nobody. I never cursed. I never drank. Just one problem. You're just born a sinner. You come out of the womb speaking lies. Only one problem. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. None that doeth good, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. You're in the same category as me. You need a Savior, and there's none other but Jesus. He that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You're not going to make it without Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That's the only hope there is a nail-scarred hand that reached out at the cross that said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We need more preaching against sin. We need more repenting concerning sin. Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. That's it. I'll stop right there. If you're willing to repent, you can get saved. If you're unwilling to repent, this preacher, someone will have to do your funeral and they'll try to make an ado. He's a pretty good father, pretty good mother, pretty good son, pretty good daughter. Wonder what God said about all that. And we do our best to comfort people. I don't want to add insult to injury. I buried a daughter. I know how difficult that is. I buried my mother. I buried my father. I didn't have no brothers and sisters. I know it's not a blessing to go pick a coffin out. It's not a blessing to make funeral arrangements. But make no mistake about it. There's one funeral you don't need to have. And that's dying lost. If you die lost, it's worst case scenario. There's no hope. There's no help. I remember my cousin got killed. His wife come to me, Tammy. She said, tell me that my husband made it to heaven. I said, Tammy, you're asking the wrong one. You need to go talk to Jesus. Because He is the one, the door of heaven, that said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You'll not make it to heaven without Jesus. Getting almost there won't be enough. You'll have to go all the way. You'll have to yourself. Now Holden came up here. He is a little nervous. And I said, Holden, you got to ask Jesus yourself. And he said, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Save my soul. I want to be saved. You see, the Bible said with the mouth confession is made, Romans 10:9. With your mouth, you've got to confess your sinner. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With your heart, you've got to believe Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You've got to believe Jesus to save you from your sins. And that tremendous verse 13, Brother Williams says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I hinged on that verse right there. I called upon Him, got gloriously, wondrously saved. I couldn't undo it if I wanted to. I highly recommend it. I tell you, I wish the whole world was saved. Can you imagine how much better place it would be down here if everybody was saved? Can you imagine how full this church would be this morning if everybody was saved? Can you imagine what kind of TV program would be on the TV if everybody was saved? Can you imagine what kind of workplace you could have if everybody was saved? Just think about it. If everybody got saved, what a better place it'd be. That's what God had in mind. That's what God had in mind when He made the world. Formed the earth, formed the inhabited, put man upon it. That's what He had in mind. But from day one, man messed it up. And we're still messing it up today. Father, thank You for the message. And Lord, I know this message come from You. I know, Lord, You directed it where it needed to be. I'm like Brother Vernon. I'm either planting or watering. And that's all I can do. And I don't know, dear Father, today if You've used me to plant or water. But I do pray, dear Father, today You'd give the increase today. I pray someone today be honest. Someone today would say, I need to get right with God. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of going through the motions with nothing inside. I pray You'd fill that person today with all the glories of heaven. I pray they leave this church today with joy unspeakable and full of glory and have to go down the road telling people as they went, I just got saved. I just got in the family of God. I just got born again. What a blessing it is. Lord, if that be possible, I ask You today in Christ's name. Amen. Let me ask everybody to stand, please. This is God's time. I'm done. If you need to do something this morning, with God's speed, I pray you will. Don't be like the world. Spend $30,000 and even froze minus 40 degrees, burning in the flames of hell. Giving their family some kind of false hope. One day they see them again. There's only one hope I know that's sure and steadfast. And that hope's Jesus.
Page 200.
You need to come this morning. Maybe just want to come this morning and pray for someone. For whatever reason you need to come, won't you come right now? Don't even hesitate. You might be the very thing to help somebody else. God bless you, Jessica. I like to see young people doing what this young girl just did without hesitation. She right up here. Maybe have some others come help me pray with her. Lord, we thank You for Jessica, Lord. What a blessing she is. Lord, what a jewel for Your crown. Lord, what a flower for Your garden. Bless this young, tender heart, Lord. Lord, I pray the nail-scarred hand of Jesus, Lord, would be there like My hand is upon her back to lead and guide her, Lord, through the life that, Lord, she'll be living. Now, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know, Lord, what's on the calendar for next year. We just know who holds tomorrow. We know who's got our future in His hand. Bless Jessica, Lord. Bless her and meet her need, her petition, whatever it is, let her and You come right in. We'll thank You and praise You. Lord, we failed here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, He can come, but you will. He can come without delay. Kiss Him right by the hand.
Right now, He's able to just
all the time. I'm going to say it right now. The Bible says today, Lord, pardon not your heart. Today, you need to come. You don't have to be the king. You don't want the best man on the planet. You need to come today. We got Jesus here this morning. I don't know the standard of God. Some of you know. Some of you don't. Maybe you've been coming for a long time. And on the first you've been telling yourself, God's not lost. Won't you be honest this morning, brother? It's me. It's me. God's put His finger on me. I need to come. You raise that hand right now. I'll tell you what, God will see that hand. God will honor that. God's a covenant God. You raise your hand, brother, and it's me. That message spoke to me. That message let me know. I've got some things I need to work on. Well, I'd like to see some honest hands come up this morning. God bless that hand. I believe there's others need to be raised. God bless that. I tell you right now, God's a covenant God. You raise that hand, you'll see something. God said, I've seen that hand. He said He gave Jezebel space to repent He said she repented not. He said my judgment's just, but he lengthened Hezekiah's years 15 more years. You'll raise that hand this morning. God will see that hand. God will see that hand. God will say, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to show mercy. I don't know. I'm looking at her hand. You last, everybody's head be bowed. I didn't do that. If you're not ashamed of Jesus, I promise you this. He won't be ashamed of you. There's somebody here this morning. Brother Daddy. Oh God, have mercy on me. I've done some things in my life. They cried. I want to get them straightened out when he comes. You'll show that hand. I'll promise you this. God will see it. Bless you. God bless that hand. See a little old bitty hand go up back there. I'll tell you what, Jesus said out of the mouth of babes a perfected praise. And I don't deny that hand. I'll tell you right now. The Bible said, I'll see it, said the Lord. And I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Even now, you hear this morning, Brother Eddie, I've got something not right. Bless you.
Page 9.
Melissa's doing what we need to be doing. I'm trying to conduct this invitation. She's over praying with Jessica. Let me tell you something, Jessica. She's doing business down here with God. I don't need to know. I just need to know if she needs time praying. Maybe some of you moved any heart. I'm going to go pray with Jessica. That'd be a good thing. Maybe moved any heart. I'm going to go pray with Jessica and do some repenting of my own. I'll tell you right now, it'd be a good time to climb while the water's in trouble. What about it this morning? I know this message. I know it came from God. I know it did. What are you going to do today? Well, this Jesus. Is God knocking on the heart? Say, let me in. I want to help you. I'll tell you right now. He'll do it. He'll come and knock on the door of your soul and say, let me in. I'll help you. I'll make you whole. Look at the hands. Any hands? Any hands this morning? Brother Eddie, I'm raising my hand. I got an issue. I got something I need to get right. All right, I'm going to trust. And I'm going to see every one of you. And if I don't, that means you made a terrible mistake this morning. Obedience, the Bible says, better than sacrifice. The Bible said God desires truth than amber parts. If you're not going to raise that hand this morning, you're not going to come forward. But if you did raise your hand this morning, why don't you just go ahead and come on up here? We'll pray with you. We'll do our best to stand the gap with you and pray. You have to ask God. But I'll tell you right now, we'll pray that God will hear and God will help and God will answer. You want to come this morning, why don't you do that? That might be a good thing. Start a week revival off just like this right here. You'll just come on right now. Come on. Maybe you ain't going to raise your hand. Well, that's okay. Won't you just come even without raising your hand? Won't you come right now? Why don't you come? Jesus said, come unto me, all you laboring heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. You'll find rest unto your soul. Is it getting hard to pull the load? Well, if you're part of to Jesus. I'm lingering a little bit right here, and I'm doing it on purpose because God's ministering here this morning. Won't you come? There ain't none of this in hell. I could take this down to hell, live. I could sell it $1 million of drop. That's $1 million worth of hell. One drop of water. Lazarus, down there. Abraham, that rich man, Father, water all. He said, Father Abraham, I pray that you send Lazarus, that you make him this spring of water, and cool my son, I'm tormented in this way. All they want is $1 of water. They take a change in a place where there's no water, no comfort, nothing but pain and agony. Pass these out down there. This is a priceless pleasure, man. If I could take this down and auction off, I can't imagine how rich I'd be. They give everything. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Appreciate Jessica. And I'll tell you right now, she not only obeyed the Lord this morning, I believe she obeyed him fully. I don't know what her petition was, but I'll tell you one thing. She went to the right one to get it answered. The right one to get it fulfilled. Amen. Maybe someone this morning got a word on your heart. We'll take a minute there. It's been long this morning. Appreciate our visitors this morning. I hope and pray they consider coming back tonight. I believe I'll be a little nicer tonight. But I want to try to straighten up an area where we're erring exceedingly. Jesus said you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. I want to try my best to clear a matter up there a little bit. Anybody got a word in your heart tonight?
Today. You said tonight.
Oh.
Today.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Anybody got a word in your heart today? Yeah. I'm thinking about coming tonight and we're still in the day. Thank you, Brother Melvin.
I love the Lord this morning. I praise His holy name. I thank Him for being there with me all these wee hours.
Amen, Mark.
I praise His holy name this morning. I thank Him for that blood.
Hey.
I praise Him.
Hey. Can you imagine going through a day without grace? Can you imagine having to bear a day without the help of God? I'm glad we don't have to. And I thank God for that grace, that sufficient grace that helps us in the things that come against us in life. And I'll tell you, boy, you can't put a price on it. It's priceless. I've got to shut up because I'm full this morning. When I know I'm full, I've got to shut up. I'll just keep pouring out. Anybody else got a word in heart this morning? Appreciate Anthony this morning. He proved to me this morning he loved the Lord. I didn't expect to see him this morning. He made a liar out of me, made a blessing also here this morning. I appreciate you, Anthony. I know you had to kick the devil in the teeth just to be able to come because he's pushing back, trying to keep him coming. You showed yourself to be a man this morning. I appreciate him. Never saw him stand no greater than he's standing right now. I appreciate him so much. And we got a lot of young people here this morning. Man, I just praise the Lord for what I see in their lives. I wish I could have seen that in my life as a young person. I wish I could have seen Eddie Wade sitting on a church pew as a young person. I'm so ashamed of the fact I didn't get church. I was 34 years old. I'm just in this over them because they're in church. This little one right here, in church. No safer place to have children's in church.
True.
Anybody else got a word?
Brother Eddie, I love God and I want to thank Him for all He's done for me this week. But I am so glad to have this church so full of love that's worked with me, a sinner like me.
Bless you, Brother Anthony.
That we can use this altar. That altar needs to be used.
Yeah.
There needs to be questioned what somebody's up there.
That's right.
And I'm glad to have a church that still uses the altar.
Hey, man. A young girl come up here at this altar. You'll have to come up here where I'm at to see it. But there's two tear stains right here. Little Kaylee, that's Howard and Carolyn Gaskin's granddaughter. She's down here praying. And I said, Kaylee, is everything all right? She looked up at me, tears flying everywhere. She said, Brother Eddie, I'm praying to get saved. I said, you go right ahead, honey. And she left two tear stains on this altar, and they're still here today. Like Brother Anthony said, I thank God this altar is a place where we can come and do business with God. That little girl got saved, called her mom and daddy, told her she got saved, sings for the Lord, loves the Lord. Don't underestimate young people. I'm talking about, what was she, about 10 years old, someone. I mean, her tear stains are still there. A testimony of the reality of God and her sincerity. Anybody else? If not, thank you for coming. I love you. Don't forget to come back tonight. Don't bring no snakes. And it's unusual, man. I tell you what he's going to preach before he even gets here. I'm kind of excited about it myself. But be preaching tonight.
Oh, by the way, talking about snakes, it's Mexico. Couldn't wait for somewhere here the other day.
Yeah.
Every time I cut the back. He reached down to get a tobacco stick, and it cut
through the
team in the
neck
from that thing.
Wow.
He lived 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
That's how uncertain life.
That's true. That's how deadly a thing a serpent is. Brother Melvin, you go ahead and dismiss this word of prayer. And thank y'all for coming. Don't forget to come back tonight. The service tonight will be at 5 o'clock.
Thank you.